Well, good morning and welcome. Last Sunday morning, we talked about heaven. Hopefully, it was an encouraging lesson. It ought to be when we're talking about God's idea for us that He has made possible through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We long for heaven. We're human beings. We look for, number one, eternity. We don't want to just die and it's over. But once we do die, we want something better than we have. And God's made that promise.
Amen.
And He made it possible in Christ Jesus. God made a promise, I believe He's going to keep it. But this lesson, you know, we know God's part then. This lesson's more about our side on this thing. We need to be sure. I think we can be sure. In Matthew 13:11, Jesus answered, "To you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Almost sounds like some yes and some no. Sometimes I think we see the church. I need to be careful here. But I really think there's something for our thinking. Sometimes I think we view the church as we see it in Acts through Jude. There's a lot in Acts through Jude that we must know about the church. It describes, it shows the history, it shows the behavior, it shows the patterns. It shows from the epistles correction after correction on things that were being done that were not good, that needed to be changed. And there is a lot there. But as we look here, we can't miss the section of teaching by Jesus. How many times did He say the kingdom of heaven is likened to? And Jesus founds the individual heart, the quality of the heart of the Christian in His parables. And we can't miss that either, church. We've got to have this section and this, and they worshipped Him in spirit and in truth, didn't they? Jesus described a kingdom within us. He told of a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week kingdom, didn't He? There's a difference between the administration of the church and the heart of the church. Both need to be right. Okay? We've got to have both sides of this. And so I say all of that. I'm laying a little background here for us to begin to think two directions. Think toward self. Don't think about others. Think toward yourself. But then I come to Matthew 7:13-14, where it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many who enter through it, for the gate is small, the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it." It says in Luke 13:24, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able." I'll use that one again at the end. Many are going to strive and not be able to enter. Well, what kept him from it? We have a ton of examples in the gospel zone where we can see what kept Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and many of the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders of the time, missed what was going on. They looked at it incorrectly. And I just want each of us this morning to take a look at ourselves and make sure. Folks, the Pharisees didn't lose the kingdom because they weren't striving. They missed it because of the heart. They kind of used what I call the Nike system. Just do it. And they missed it. It was a wrong system of justification. They figured that they were Abraham's seed and that was good enough. They had the law. That was good enough. They were right. And they ended up with pride and arrogance. And it was the heart issue that Jesus went after over and over and over. Go read Matthew 23. It's tough. Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Paul's talking about Jews here, physical Jews. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. They had zeal, they just weren't getting it right. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. They ended up with a system where they basically were their own righteousness. Mark 10:15 says this, truly I say unto you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter in at all. We can think about that for hours. Sometimes, church, I need a wake-up call. Sometimes I get too comfortable. I'm preaching this lesson to you this morning. I want to assure you that I've been preaching it to Phil for the last month. I've been working on it that long. I hope it has sunk in. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And we need to make sure we are prepared. 2 Corinthians 13, starting at 4. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we are also weak in him, yet we shall live with him because of the power God directed toward you. And then it says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Folks, we need to do that once in a while. Examine yourselves, or don't you realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test? I'm submitting to me and to you this morning that it's time for a little examination. It always is, you know. It's not just because it's 2019 in May. It's something that is always present, that if we get to seeing ourselves in too comfortable a life and too much, you know, we got it all going, that it's time to back off and do some examination. The humility that is in the Christian coming from Christ's teaching is so powerful. So some things to look at, and some of them I'm going to hit just very lightly. I just couldn't not put them in. So I had to make note. Watch and be ready. You know not. Matthew 24, starting at 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. There was only one little group that was prepared for that, I want you to know. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, married, given in marriage. They just were doing what they wanted to do. Eat, drink, and be merry, fun. Well, it's easy to do that. It's easy for us to do it. The church is not exempt from the stuff of this life and from getting caught up in it. I'll go to 43. Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man's coming in an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is faithful and sensible slave from whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. We need to be active in our thinking. In Matthew 26, 40 and 41, he comes to his disciples. He finds them asleep. And he said unto Peter, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Christ is on, he's sweating blood over what's going to happen. And he knows. And he goes back and his closest ones are sound asleep. You say, I wouldn't have done that. I have been at times in my life when I wanted to watch something or be a part of something and been so sleepy, you've been there, haven't you? You just couldn't keep your eyes open. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. I've always liked the King James there. Quit you like men. Play the man to the end, Phil. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keep an alert in it. We could do a better job there, couldn't we? Individually and collectively, we could be a little more alert in our prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. And then finally, 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Watch in the prayer, the King James says. We're to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. I want to say, how you doing, Phil? How's diligence going on in your life today? 2 Peter 1, starting at 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness, it's through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He's granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's what I want, and that's what you want, isn't it? We want to be like Jesus, like God, having escaped the corruption that's in this world by lust. So we're heading one direction and away from another. For this very reason also, applying all diligence, it says, in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. In your brotherly kindness, love. Now listen. If these qualities, go back and read those. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, abounding, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Use that word before, didn't we? I was reading a commentator one day, and he said, this passage area has bookends. And the bookends are diligent and diligent. And I thought, that's good. It's such a rich passage, bookended by diligence. So be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, the entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I haven't told you anything you didn't already know. But I've reminded you of something very, very important. A couple of rapid ones here that I just had to throw in. The all issue. The all issue. Luke 10:27. He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. God first all. That was kind of the lesson of the rich young ruler, wasn't it? He came, he thought he was doing good. Jesus blessed him for what he had done and just told him, go just a little bit farther. And he said, I can't. I can't. The all issue is important. Surely the holy demand, Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification, the holy part, without which no one will see the Lord. Folks, we got to be holy. He's holy. He makes us holy. But we've got to head toward holy. It's a behavioral reminder. And then the last part of the lesson that I have, and probably the longest part here other than the conclusion, missing the essence. You just talked about getting into the fold through the wrong door. And sometimes maybe that's an issue we need to consider. You could be in the right fold, but you came in it the wrong way, or maybe you're in it by a wrong process. Luke 11:52 says, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away, are you ready for some good words or some powerful words? You've taken away the key to knowledge. Whoa. No, you have. It's one thing to take knowledge away from somebody or not give it to them in the first place. It's another entirely different thing to take away the key to it. He says, you yourselves did not enter and you hindered those who were entering. I go to Romans 2, starting at 17. This is an important area. We're establishing who a Jew is. And the Jews thought they were Jews because they were born. Right. Let's listen. If you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are essential, these are all good. Being instructed out of the law, you're confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of the knowledge of truth. I like that. I'd like to think I could say that. But then he goes on and he steals the thunder of this person. You therefore who teach another, do you teach yourself? Church, if we're going to examine ourselves, this is the zone. If you've got all the answers, do you teach you? And boy, we better. We cannot afford to apply God's word to everybody else everywhere else. We've got to learn to apply it to self. You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? May I stop long enough to say that covetousness is idolatry? We can get involved in idolatry just going after the stuff of this world. You who boast in the law, through breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it's written. For indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you're a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Go read Romans chapter 4 on the impute issue. He who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Write that one down. Circumcision is that of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from men, but from God. That's a pretty powerful passage. Let's transfer. Who are we then as we relate to that? I'm in Romans 9, 6 through 8. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended of Israel. We're still describing this Jew. Nor are they all children, because they're Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, the child of promise, your descendants will be named. That is, it's not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise who are rewarded or regarded as descendants. I always liked to be the winner. I always liked to be the good guy. And isn't it easy when we're amongst ourselves to talk about ourselves as though we are winners and good guys and we do everything? We need to be careful. We congratulate ourselves because we worship in the church, which has a biblical name. We have right teaching. We worship according to the biblical pattern. We remember the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and I could go on and on. Are you discounting that, Phil? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Those things are important. Yeah. But they cannot become the basis for who we are. Again, I say, oftentimes we live as though what's in Acts through Jude is the only thing. And there's a whole lot from Jesus about the heart and who we are and the love that ought to be there. James 1:8 talks about a double-minded man being unstable in all his ways. James 4 at verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. A couple of quotes. One says, according to the teaching of our Lord, what was wrong with the world is precisely that it does not believe in God. Yet it is clear that the unbelief which he so bitterly deplored was not an intellectual persuasion of God's non-existence. They were pretty well out. That wasn't what Jesus was focused on. Those whom he rebuked for their lack of faith were not men who denied God with the top of their minds, but men who, while apparently incapable of doubting him, lived the way they wanted to. They dismissed him by pleading toward him. Another one, the turning point in our lives is when we stop seeking the God we want and start seeking the God who is. I want you to think about that for a while. We conclude. Am I drawing nearer to God? Are you? How did I do last week? How did you do last year? Drawing nearer. Some possible examination areas. Is God always in your presence? Are you mindful of him always? You say, well, I think of him on Sunday mornings when I show up. That's good. But I think it's bigger than that, isn't it?
Yeah.
How's your giving? Well, surely the church issue is there. I think it's biblical. But it's bigger than that. Giving is a way of living. Giving is the teacher, I think, that teaches us not to be selfish. Would you think about that? If I can learn to give, I think I'm going to learn something about selfishness or unselfishness. Think on those things. Are you a fellowship resource? Do you generate love and fellowship within this congregation? That's one to think about, isn't it? And then finally, we need to help each other here. Please help me. How's your prayer life? Quality and quantity. This one is such a privilege, and we need to recognize it. I need to recognize it. We need to pray more. We need to pray more together. We really do. First John 2, 3 through 5, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoso keepeth his word in him, verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Christ in our hearts. I said I'd use this one again. Luke 13:24 says, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. I had that in this lesson for 2 or 3 weeks, and I missed a point. I read it again one more time, and it jumped out at me, the word able. It's one thing to not be willing. It's another to not be able, isn't it? I think I found the key. You know, we can have so much world in us that we have enmity with God because we're double-minded. We're so much chasing this that we don't. And what we end up with is this great big compromise where we get the best of both worlds. And we're happy on both sides, but maybe not accurate on the right side. And that's what I'm suggesting this morning. That it's time for a good examination. You don't need to examine whether you're in the world or not. I can tell you, you are. You might need less of that. But examine the right side, the side that matters. Here's what I think is the key to that will not be able. I'm in Romans 5, or Romans 8, starting at verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. We're talking about not being able to enter. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. Did you catch that? We get too much flesh in us, and we're not able to be subject to God. Verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, does he? But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's God, he who raised Christ from the dead will also, are you ready, give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's where we've got to dwell. That's where we've got to figure out to be. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. If by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I haven't tied that up into a neat little box and put a bow on it, have I? What I have tried my very, very best to do is challenge us just a little bit to not be so comfortable. To maybe not be so worldly. To not have so much of, I got to do this and I can't do that. And surely to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. The lesson's yours. If you happen to be here this morning and you're not a child of God, let me just say simply, I think God through eternity has presented himself in a most beautiful picture. Throughout history and prophecy, he looks forward and he says, Messiah is coming. And the Jews rally and they present that in thousands of ways. In a whole bunch of books of the Old Testament, 39. And then Christ comes and God says, he's coming, he is here. And Jesus comes to this earth miraculously. He lives, he teaches, we have a lot of his teachings. But then he does a marvelous thing. God in the flesh dies for your sins, for my sins. You can read about the suffering there. I've recently come across even more. And he suffered, folks. He suffered at the hands of some people who were so excellent at making men suffer. They were good at it. And he did it out of love. For his Father, completing his plan for us. It was necessary. He did it. The power of God raised him from the dead. There's your picture. God came to earth, lived as man, died worse than most of us will ever have to worry about. And yet the power that's in that resurrection, the life that comes from it, it comes from the spiritual life. Is ours. It's in Christ Jesus. And so you need to believe that story. Amen. Believing it, you need to confess the name of Jesus, repenting of your sins, and be buried in a watery grave of baptism. Go read Romans 6, the first 11 verses. It talks about our being planted together in the likeness of his death, that you may also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what we want. The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved, Acts 2, verse 47. And we're trying to be that church. And that church. Would you do that this morning? We talked about prayer and its importance. And we can pray with you and for you. We love each other. We do, don't we? And we'll pray with you if you have a special issue that needs our attention. We'd love to do that. Won't you come us together? We stand and sing.